We're going to talk about habits that we all have that reveal a lot about our personality, and what are some of your habits, and also embarrassing things that we all do and why. And these are kind of like habits, but they're more personality things that we all do and why we do them. So we're going to get a little analysis going here. What are some of the habits that you have? And we've got some habits that will reveal a lot about your personality and some of the stupid and embarrassing things that we all do. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. 312-981-7200. That's the phone number. Dan, do you have any habits? We've talked a little bit about some that you have, right?
Yeah, I do try to keep my money in order.
Yes.
So the singles first, and then fives, 20s, and then when I have them, 50s and 100s on the rare occasions that I do. So that's something I do.
And you keep them face, you face them too, right?
Correct. So, yeah. So they're all face forward.
Right.
The other thing is an inside joke with my friends and I, but Usher is a singer that we really like, and in all of his songs at some point he says his name Usher, and then he underneath his breath he says Usher again. So he says Usher, Usher. And so whenever we are in public and somebody uses the word Usher, one of us will look at each other and find an opportunity to say underneath our breath Usher. And obviously it's much funnier when the person who says Usher is not in on the
Not in on the joke,
right? But yeah, just if,
but that's word, just like a weird habit you
if
guys
the word
have.
Comes up, but Usher, and like I do it now involuntary, not even just around them,
right?
I'll be talking to our boss and he'll say like, oh, the Usher helped me find my seat, and in my head I'm like Usher.
I do the same money thing, except I have the big bills on the outside. But I don't keep money in my wallet. We've talked about this before. I have a money clip and I keep it in my pocket instead of my wallet. So, I want to mention again one time, a few months ago, a listener sent a gift sent me a money clip with my initials on it. It's a really nice money clip because I had lost my money clip, and so a listener sent me one, and you know, so I have the money that I have on me. It goes from the big bills to the small bills, and the bill that's on top at this time, Dan, is a five.
There you go.
So that should tell you. That should tell you. You know, Captain Moneybags here. So yeah, but I do that too. I face the money as well. I don't know if that has anything. It's not the case with you, but you know, as somebody who worked, you know, at McDonald's and as a bartender, you count down your drawer at the end of the night. And I would always face the money when I would put the money away or put it in the drawer. And I think that came – that I picked that up from the job and applied that to how I carry my money.
Were you ever a cashier at Jewel?
Not at Jewel, no. No. I was at McDonald's. I worked up at the front for a little while. I was everywhere. I was training to be a manager at McDonald's at one point. So, yeah, I was all over the place. But, yeah, I think that's where that comes from. Esmeralda, do you have any habits?
I can't think of any at the moment. I would say I used to do this, and I haven't done it in a few years, but I used to eat my eggs. If I had over easy eggs, I would eat around the yolk. So I would cut off all the white and eat that, and then pop the top of the yolk, and then mix a little salt in, and then scoop it up as a whole thing and eat it so that none
wow.
of the yolk got out.
Wow.
But I haven't done that in a while. And it would, and I hated it when I would be, not mad, but I would just be like, oh, if it were to break before I got to do that.
Oh.
I think it was more like, oh, there goes the yolk. I'm spilling it everywhere.
Wow. That's interesting.
I think that's going to come up later. I think that's one of the things on this 12 habits list is how you eat stuff and what
yeah.
it says about you.
Yeah.
My buddy Bill will always eat the fries first.
If he's got a happy meal, or not a happy meal, or like a regular value meal.
Right, so like if he gets a hamburger, fries, and, you know, a drink, he always eats the fries first and then the burger second. He doesn't, you know, he likes to save the best for last. So
I kind of do that too, but like if I'm eating something, you know, and I want to save the best for, if I want to save the best for, you know, like last, I do that sometimes, you know? Like if I'm eating like, I don't know, like chili or something, and there's like big chunks of meat, in the chili, I will save those for last because that's my favorite part. But I don't eat, you know, like I don't eat like all of the fries first and then jump into the hamburger. But my, now, Esmeralda, did you do that because the yolk is your favorite part, was your favorite part of the egg, and you wanted to save it for last just to have it all?
Well, I think it was also a neatness thing.
Uh-huh.
So I eat the white, cut off all the white, and then I cut off as much as I can get, like
as close to the yolk
without breaking it.
Yeah.
So then it's like this nice, neat little yolk.
And then you would scoop it up. You would try not to break the yolk and scoop it up with a spoon?
Well, no, I would pop the top.
Oh, you would pop it and
just
then...
Just so I could mix a little salt in and then scoop it up
and eat
and
it.
Eat it.
Well, the whole neatness thing goes right out the window when you pop the top, right?
No, because you just pop, if you use like the tines of a fork.
You just pop it and
yeah,
then
you just pop the little
throw
bit,
some
yeah.
salt in there and then scoop it up.
Right. You're not like stabbing it. You're just kind of breaking it so I can get some salt in it in.
Was your goal to not have any yolk on the plate when you ended?
Yes.
Well, that's what toast is for.
I hated when there'd be yolk when it would spill out.
Well, that's what toast is for.
Yeah, but I don't always eat toast.
No. Well, that's what bacon's for. Sop it up with the bacon.
How do you sop up anything with bacon?
Slap it on there and you have yolk on the bacon.
I don't know what bacon you're eating that's soaking things up.
You can scoop up yolk with bacon. Scoop it up.
I've had to do that now because I don't eat that much bread.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the same
at
all.
I immediately, when I eat over easy, you know, or up eggs, I immediately bust the yolk. That's the first thing I do is bust the yolk.
And then it gets everywhere on the plate.
Yeah,
like
it's good.
Yeah, but then you can't really scoop it up anymore. I like the fact that I was able to scoop it.
Okay, I understand. And if that's because you're eating your breakfast breadless. Because that's to me, that's what the toast is for. I bust it in there, get the toast in there, and sop up all the yolk. All right, we're going to have to hit the news here. And then want to get some habits that other people have. And 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And eating habits, we could go all night with eating habits. So just get them in if you want. 312-981-7200. News is in 17 seconds. Yeah. Wildcard Wednesday, man. Yeah. 312-981-7200. Any artist, any song, anything, and that certainly fills in. Glenn requesting the Super Chicken cartoon theme song. Yeah, you remember Super Chicken, Dan?
I do not.
Oh, it was classic. Super Chicken. Esmeralda, Super Chicken?
I do not.
Vic, you remember Super Chicken?
No, I'm drawing a blank.
Wow. That's because I'm old. Super Chicken. Hey, it's Nick DiGilio. How you doing? We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich will have the opening bell at 5, the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're talking about habits that you have and habits that maybe reveal things about your personality and things that we all do that we've done that are kind of dumb as well. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Vic, do you have any weird habits or unusual habits?
Oh gosh, you caught me on the off guard here. I'll have to think about that.
Okay.
Weird habits.
All right.
I think I'm pretty normal, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Your average guy. I can't think of any.
I have no idea why me and Esmeralda and Dan all laughed when you said that. What is it?
Well, I am now.
All right. Think about it, Vic, if you got any strange habits. All right. How about this one? You guys, this one. How about the way you roll toilet paper? Therapist Gilda Carl, PhD, surveyed 2,000 men and women about whether they hang their toilet paper in the overhand or underhand position. She also asked her volunteers to fill out questionnaires that would probe how assertive they were and on a scale of 1 to 10 in their relationships. Dr. Claire's results suggest that those who prefer the overhand method are more dominant, and the underhanders tend to be more submissive. So, Dan, is this a bone of contention in the house? Like, does Eileen and you guys, do you agree on how to hang the toilet paper? Or does it matter?
We are okay on the hanging of the toilet paper. The grade of toilet paper is an issue, seeing she is a daughter of a plumber. apparently only sandpaper does not clog up your toilets in their world, so that was some getting used to.
That's when you just get a bidet, man.
Yeah, I was just going to say, just go to the empty bottle, yeah, or go to Mary's house. Mary's got one. So, but you guys, are you over or under?
We are over.
Okay. Esmeralda, over or under, or does it matter?
It doesn't matter, but I was just looking at it recently, and I would prefer over, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I just put it on the roll.
What about V? Does he?
I don't think so.
Does he care?
I've never heard him complain.
No, I'm definitely over. Definitely over. Now, here's the thing, though. It's you have a cat, Esmeralda. Does your cat like to mess around with toilet paper?
She only did it once years ago, but she doesn't bother going in the bathroom ever.
Okay. Now, if you do have a cat that likes to mess around, you got to put it on under. Because you put it over, one swipe from the cat, and the thing's going to go brrrr, and it's all going to roll out. So that's the only reason that you should use under. Because over is the correct way to put toilet paper on your roll. Although some people are like, "What are you talking about? Who cares?" Vic, are you over or under?
I am
over.
We're both in agreement.
All right.
I don't know why.
Well, it's because you know why? Because we're both dominant. We're all dominant. That's right.
Is that what that means? Dominant.
It means we're all dominant. Okay. The underhanders are submissive. So, all right. Now, what about this? Here are some habits that reveal about your personality. Your shoe choices. A study published in the Journal of Research in Personality suggests that you can read someone's personality through their choice of footwear. Oh, God. So what do high-top Chucks say? Because that's all I wear. Preferably in black. Volunteers submitted photos of their shoes and then completed a questionnaire on their personality traits. Another group gazed upon the photos and then described the personality of the wearer, and they were remarkably accurate. They gauged the age, income, and attachment anxiety of someone based solely on their shoes, no pun intended, solely on their shoes. Their results indicate that people who wear comfortable shoes tend to be relatively agreeable. Ankle boots are generally worn by those who are more aggressive. Wearing uncomfortable shoes implies that you're more of a calm person, while those with new and well-maintained footwear are more anxious and have or a clingy persona. Now, here's the question, though. What if you have like a lot of pairs of shoes and they're not all the same? You know what I mean? I mean, I don't. I just, you know, I essentially have three more pairs of Chucks at home and a pair of Docs. That's what I have at home. Oh, and dress shoes that I wear, you know, sparingly. But what if someone has, you know, like my ex-wife had 5,000 pairs of shoes, and they weren't all the same. They weren't all the same type. So you're judging someone on what they're wearing that day?
And it's really how you feel, I guess. Because sometimes, well, and it's also like weather.
Yeah, weather.
Like when there's snow on the ground, you can't wear sneakers for the most part if you're going to be walking around because they'll just get wet.
Right. I wear them in the snow because my feet, as I get older, my feet hurt. And I just don't want to put on anything but my Chucks. I don't care if my feet get wet. I'd rather have wet feet than hurt feet. My Chucks wearing Chucks are like wearing slippers, man. That's, you know.
Yeah, that actually could probably be causing the pain.
Mm. Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. Because when I put the other shoes on, is when there's pain. When I have these shoes on, there's no pain.
Yeah, because those are essentially like you're walking barefoot.
Yeah.
And there's no support.
Well, I'd rather walk barefoot with these shoes on than have pain. During the Walk of Fame induction, my feet were exploding because I had those dress shoes on. That I hadn't worn since my wedding. Ugh. Dan, how many? You don't have like a ton of shoes, do you?
I have three pairs.
Yeah.
I have the pair that I have on now.
Yeah.
Are slip-ons with no laces. I've got a fancy pair that I wear to weddings, and I have my gym shoes.
And what kind of gym shoes do you wear? Do you even know?
I think they're Adidas. We went to that Fleet Feet once where they make you run and tell you your left knee extends too far over your right knee, and this is why you need to buy this shoe.
Uh-huh.
That was 5 years ago, I think.
Okay. All right. And the shoes that you have on now, which are the Dan that you have on now, they would be judged by what? Because it's convenience and comfort, correct?
I would assume so, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they are. Coincidentally, I think it's going to come up later. They talk about the way you walk and what that says about you. And I, my entire life, have had problems keeping shoelaces tied. And, you know, no matter how tight I made them, they would inevitably come undone.
And that has something to do with the way you walk.
Right, because I think I have flat feet, so I tend to walk on the towards the tips of my toes more than most people. So, like, that motion of bringing up the top of my foot so much just kept loosening the laces.
Have you noticed that there are times in the hallway when we're going down in the morning, how many times I have to, hey, hang on a second.
Right, right. You do not like that. Like, and like, I always find it funny because, like, I was so used to having untied shoelaces that I would just walk, you know, danger. But you're always like, wait, stop right there. I have to tie my shoe right now. You know?
No, as soon as it gets loose, I tie
it. Right.
You know?
You are on the spot when that comes.
Yeah, but no, I think that has something to do with the way I walk as well. And I wear high tops too, which, you know, because so that's, you know, the way you walk and you wear high tops, that's going to unloosen things. All right, hang on. Esmeralda, I got to ask you about your footwear, but we have to break here for weather and traffic. Welcome back, everybody. Wildcard Wednesday continues. Brian from West Chicago picked Pee Wee Herman's version of Surfin' Bird, which you can see in the movie Back to the Beach. Pee Wee rules. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are talking about habits and what they reveal about you. And and then a little bit later on, we got a Black Hawks Express to play as well, and it's a good one. And here's Esmeralda. What do you do with the footwear? How do you feel about the footwear? You have a lot of shoes.
I don't have that many. I have probably one or two per style.
Mm-hmm.
So I have heels, sneakers, casual shoes,
mm-hmm.
or workout shoes.
And what are you wearing now?
Sneakers.
Okay. And is it what you wear to work a lot?
No. Well, not lately because it was snowing.
Oh, right.
And so then I have like what my winter shoe is that I wear all the time. And it's just a very short heel, but it's like it's a black boot.
Oh, it's a boot, right.
It's like it's an ankle boot.
Oh, it's an ankle boot. Okay. So the other thing here is about Dan that you just mentioned is the way you walk. Body language expert Patty Wood tells Men's Health that your stroll reveals your personality. Your weight is usually forward and your stride is quick. If that's the case, then you are extremely productive and highly loyal. People admire you for that. But you may come off a bit cold and competitive. If you walk with your chest forward and shoulders back and your head held high, common for politicians and celebrity, you are a fun, charismatic, socially adept, though you may tend to hog the spotlight. If your weight is over your legs, not forward or back, you're more interested in people than in tasks and more focused on your personal life than your career. You're great as a part of a group, but you tend to get distracted. And lastly, if you're light on your toes when you walk with your eyes glued to the floor, you're more likely introverted and polite. A study showed the Journal of Interpersonal Violence suggests that jail inmates with psychopathic tendencies were able to judge vulnerability and pick potential victims simply by viewing the way people walked. I don't know. I mean, I think I walk like with the light on my toes, I think. But I'm clearly not introverted and I'm clearly not polite. So I don't I know
I walk quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because I have short legs and if I didn't walk quicker, I'd be behind everybody.
Right.
But I also walk with my head down for the most part.
I do
always
too.
Looking down.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't know. And I try to, I don't know. I'm trying to think like when I walk here, I mean, mainly I'm walking through River North. So, and then I'm really mean with people. And if they don't get out of my way, I will shoulder check them.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I don't care.
Uh-huh.
They're in my way.
Okay.
And I'm on the right side. So I guess I'm that first one.
Okay.
What?
That is so like
stay Jeannie. In your lane.
Jeannie's the same way, and I. It's such a.
It, piss, it makes me. It makes me mad that I'm the one that has to move when I'm in the right.
You just would like to share the sidewalk with a person. Get over.
Exactly. That's why I run into them.
Well, I'm not that aggressive, but it is annoying as hell. You know, when you know there's somebody just kind of standing around in the middle of the sidewalk or walking really slowly,
or they're not even. It's the people walking the other way.
Oh, that don't that are walking in your path.
Yeah.
All right, I don't care about that. I'll
I mean, it's like a car. It's like cars.
I'll sidestep if I
see. But I'm just like, why do I have to move? Why aren't you paying attention?
I don't know.
That's like, think about cars. Like, what if just people were driving on the other side? You'd be like, hey, what's going on? You're not supposed to do that.
See, that doesn't bother me. I don't care if someone's walking towards me and I have to sidestep. That doesn't bother me. I don't like it when people, you know, are walking like they've never walked on a sidewalk before or never saw a building.
Yeah, and it's those people, too.
Yeah.
They're all walking all over
just,
the sidewalk.
Well, you just don't like people. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's like, how do you not understand how this works? Like, it's a social agreement we've all made.
I don't know if there's a... I mean, the social agreement about, you know, someone walking towards you, how is that an agreement? What if they're thinking the same thing you're thinking?
Well, they're on the left. We're not in England. You don't drive on the other side of the road. It's like car rules.
Okay.
And usually the people who are walking in front of me, or who are about I'm about to smack into them, are because they want to walk side by side whoever they're with.
Okay.
And it's like, you know what? You got to share the sidewalk.
Yeah. All right.
And that means they got to move.
Yeah. This is a thing that I don't have time to get upset about.
I don't. That's why I just run into them. I just don't care.
And see, life's much easier when you have that mindset, Nick, in the city, because you can get overwhelmed with every time you confront someone on a sidewalk, you're thinking in your head, you better get out of my way. No, you just have to live and let live.
And also, I'm sorry, but you are men, and you guys get to walk freely without that. There's been just all these things where women are always like the meek ones, like, oh, we have to step to the side. Because usually, like, someone's walking, they'll be like, oh, hey, watch it. And it's like, yeah, but I'm in the, you were the one in my way.
Yeah, I don't understand this at all. I'm just kind of baffled by this.
Yeah, because you don't have to deal with that kind of
issue. Well, I deal with people walking towards me on the sidewalk, and I get out of the way for 2 seconds. That's what I do. I mean, I do walk through the city, and I encounter the same kind of stuff you do. Now, maybe because I'm a male, it's different. But to sidestep something that takes 2 seconds doesn't seem like a big deal to me. It just doesn't seem like a big deal. Now, someone standing in front of me on the sidewalk, that bothers me. I think that's, you know, that I think is bothersome.
Going to have a problem.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't confront anybody. I just, in my head, I'm like, oh, God, get out of the way. I'm trying to get to work, you know? And then again, I can kind of, like, if it's a tourist or something, I can kind of understand. I'm downtown every night for work. I grew up in this city, and I've seen these buildings 80 million times. So when I'm walking and somebody's just kind of, you know, shuffling along in front of me or taking a picture or looking at a building, stopping on the sidewalk right in front of me, I have to take a second, think in my head, okay, these people have never seen this building before. You know, I am completely used to it. I take it for granted. And so I have to understand these people they're like, wow, this is a really cool building. And the Trib Building, if you're walking to the Trib Building is a gorgeous building. So I can understand people wanting to look at it. It's just, I'm trying to get to work. I'm not a tourist. But I do try to take a second in my head and go, okay, these people have never seen this building before. I wish they would get the hell out of my way, but I understand it. And then I sidestep around them. So I'll tell you what makes me crazy. This is one of the reasons why I'm glad I don't drive anymore. I can't stand it when people, if there's a left turn lane, like right out here, right at this, and I've talked about this before, Dan, you know this, right out here at Illinois. If there's a light at Illinois and Michigan, and if you're going southbound on Michigan, you got a green arrow, you got a left arrow. So people, and the sign says don't walk. It's got the hand up. It doesn't have the dude. It's got the hand up. It's got the orange hand that's up. And it's up, but people start crossing because they see that the light is green. Not ignoring the fact that these people are trying to make a left-hand turn. That, in fact, you know, that starts to, not only does it block the intersection, but it's Michigan Avenue, and if you do that at, like, I don't know, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you're going to cause a traffic jam that's going to go all the way down to, like, Ohio.
Sure.
And that, to me, people, they need to be arrested for that. But I don't care, and I know that's, you know, it's people, the pedestrian is always right. No. If the orange hand is up, don't cross the street. It's that simple. Now, you know, right now, 4:30 in the morning, you can do that because nobody's driving on Michigan Avenue. But when there are cars on the road and they have a left-hand turn, an arrow, pay attention to that. That makes me crazy. That when I was driving and then people would do that, I'd be like, get out of the, what are you doing? That Esmeralda, I get up to the level of your insanity when that happens when I was driving.
Mine's not insanity, but okay.
Okay, no, I think it's overreaction.
I don't know, but based upon the text messages we'll be reading after the news.
Well, I can't wait to see these.
All right, we got a break. And we're going to talk about handshakes, too. It's always a big thing about handshakes here. We got email etiquette to talk about and nervous tics. All kinds of habits that we find interesting and weird and what they reveal about your personality. I think we found out a lot about Esmeralda's
Which
personality.
Which one will set off Esmeralda next?
All right, we got to take a break, and then the news is coming up next. Yeah. 9 to 5. Yeah. Yeah, it's Wild Card Wednesday. You're hearing Wild Card Wednesday. Any artist, any song, anything. And that's Pat from Joliet's request. Dolly Parton, 9 to 5. So there you go. All right. Hey, welcome back, everybody. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trip Tower here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, and Steve Cochran with at 6 with your morning drive. And we're talking about habits that people have and what they say, what it says about you and what those habits say about you. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And we'll get back to this here. And it says, your handshake. A study published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology found your handshake can alter people's impressions of you. In the experiment, judges were trained to assess 8 characteristics of a handshake: completeness of grip, temperature, dryness, strength, duration, vigor, and eye contact. The result indicates that participants with firmer handshakes describe themselves as more emotionally expressive, extroverted, and positive than others. Those with looser grips are more shy and neurotic. The judge's first impression correlated with this. They agreed that the participants with firmer handshakes were more confident and less socially anxious. Okay. Dan, I don't often shake hands. I have shaken your hand. You have a firm handshake?
I think you hear so many bad things about people with limp handshakes.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody who purposely has one, you know?
Yeah. This morning when Cody was here, solid handshake from Cody.
Indeed.
Solid.
No, the thing that I do every time I shake someone's hand, this would be a habit, I guess, is that part of your hand that's right between your thumb and your index finger, that fleshy part there.
Yeah.
I try to hit that right with the other
match it with the other person's hand.
You hit that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a solid handshake. It'll be an even
handshake.
That's
what I go for.
Yeah. Okay.
There's something to symmetry, because if you look at somebody's elbow and you're high-fiving them, you're guaranteed not to miss.
If you look at the other person's elbow?
Yep.
When you're high-fiving?
Say that again.
So if you're let's say you're high-fiving Esmeralda. Because
I bumped into her on the street.
Well, because you both walked on the right side
of the
street.
Wouldn't it be a high five?
Yeah. So you high fived each other. If you're looking at the other person's elbow, your eye naturally moves your hand to the right position so that you don't miss.
Oh, wow. That makes sense.
You know, we need to, this needs to be told to more bros, don't you think?
Yes.
Because I see missing.
That's a lot of
poor high fives.
I see a lot of missing high fives every once in a while. I mean, a lot of high-fiving with bros happens after they've had a couple of cocktails when they might be seeing two elbows, you know? So, all right. Esmeralda, apparently you have people on your side with your insanity.
It's not insanity.
It is. 219 says, I am so with Esmeralda. 608 says, Esmeralda is right. 219 says, Esmeralda is right about the walking thing. I really hate it at malls and amusement parks or Disney World when you're trying to focus on walking and staying away from people and they're not paying attention. They bump into you and act like it's your fault. It's so rude. 815 says, E is right. You drive on the right. You walk on the right. And then 708 error code says, I think Esmeralda needs a hug. Don't attempt that because she'll punch you right in the mouth. So, so Esmeralda, everybody agrees with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
We did have our first dissenting text that just came in.
They
said, you're going to knock over a senior one day.
I'm not like a quarterback running through the streets knocking people over. But especially in River North, where people are just so oblivious and they're so into themselves, like, I can't deal with that.
No, it doesn't just happen in River North.
Yeah, and it's not.
Have you walked through Lincoln Park?
And it's, yeah, and it's not up to me to be the nice one, to be like, ooh, okay, I'm going to get out of the way. And usually I have to, like, go into the, like, pretty much onto, like, the rocks where there's the trees. It's like, what? The sidewalk is for where I should be walking.
Yeah.
Where I should be walking as well. So why am I the one that has to move?
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't think it's that big a deal. That's all. I think there are other things to get mad about than someone walking on your side of the street or walking on your side of the sidewalk. All right, how about this? Your email etiquette. If you're trying to pick up cues from your coworker, the answer may lie in your inbox. Psychologist Thomas Cormoro Premusic writes in Fast Company that there is a strong connection between our email persona and our real-life character. Studies of email text have found associations between certain words and major traits. Narcissists will generally use words like I or me or mine frequently. Extroverts will tend to be more casual and talk about fun-related things like music and parties. Are these like business-related text emails that we're talking about?
These journaling texts?
Or just emails? I mean, because my emails are generally like, hey, What time is this?
Unless you're dealing with someone that's family or a friend or a pen pal, one's really discussing their opinions.
No, especially if it's a business email. If I sent you an email, Esmeralda, that had something to do with what we were going to do on the show, I would not be going, hey, did you enjoy that party last week? You know, I would just get to the point and say, hey, you know, we need this for the show on Tuesday. And that's it. And then you would respond, and then that would be it. To me, emailing, I don't do, like, long emails. I guess I have no one. Do you have people that you send long emails to, Esmeralda?
No.
I don't either. Dan, no. Do you? Like, family and stuff?
Not family. For business, if I'm trying to get a guest on the show.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'll lay out what we need, and then I'll give reasons why they should join us so they can. But I try to keep it as succinct as possible.
I understand. But that's
still all business.
That is business, but it's also, that's Dan sending an email to someone he doesn't know.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if it's a coworker, I can be very brief about that. But I totally understand where you're coming
from.
When
I booked Don this morning and he didn't know us from Adam, I explained who we are. But when I booked Cody, I'm like, hey, do you want to come in?
Well, there it is. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, there's a lot of difference. And it's not just the way you say it. It's how you say it. The absence of typos is a sign of someone's conscientiousness and perfectionism and potential obsessions, whereas poor grammar indicates lower levels of IQ and academic intelligence. Interestingly, long emails reflect energy and thoroughness, but also some degree of neediness. As far as texts go, I'm a weirdo with texts because I don't use any of the, I very rarely use any of the LOLs or any of that crap.
Mm-hmm.
And I always use capital letters and proper grammar when I text. And it drives people crazy. I know people are like, why do you do that? I have no idea, but that's what I do. And if I like, maybe I'll throw in an emoji here or there, you know, but for the most part, my texts are like regular sentences. I don't use the shortened stuff. I don't use the number four for the word four. People are like, why? And then they're like, that's why it takes you an hour and a half to text me.
Jeez.
You know?
Do you then diagram them?
I do. I diagram my texts. I do that to the ones that people send me.
Oh, right.
I diagram it for them and say, these are the mistakes you made.
Oh, okay.
All right. Nervous tics. Are you a nail biter or a skin picker? Skin picker? I don't think I've ever heard that term before in my life. Yeah, you're a skin picker. What does that mean? Like scabs and stuff?
I think the little bit of skin around the nail that sometimes
the cuticle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like
or scabs, yeah. That would make sense.
I guess. I don't know. I've just never. Have you ever heard skin picker?
Yeah.
Nope.
Have you?
Yeah.
Wow. Dan, no?
First you time. Have, like, if you have zits and stuff, you pick it. It's, yeah.
Skin picker. All right. Scientists call these body-focused repetitive behaviors, and in 2015, a study published in the Journal of Behavior Therapy and Experimental Psychiatry, researchers analyzed people's personalities when they filmed while they were in a situation that was extremely frustrating, relaxing, or boring, looking for tics that might emerge. People who compulsively tugged on their hair or bit their nails tended toward perfectionism, and actions are a result of trying to soothe boredom, irritation, or dissatisfaction. Because it feels better doing something instead of nothing, repetitive behavior proves comforting. All right. I have that cube you guys gave me, so I don't... but I never was... I'm not a skin picker or nail biter or anything like that. But I have to have, I usually do, you know, have something in my hand, and, you know, I always have to keep busy. So that means I'm needy, right? And I need comfort.
Also means we'll be hearing you.
Yeah, on Friday. Yeah. Okay. How about your punctuality? A study published in the Journal of Research and Personality suggests that timeliness is an accurate assessment of positive character traits. In the study, researchers asked participants to complete a personality assessment at home and come to the laboratory for a group experiment. By analyzing the participants' time of arrival, they found punctual people were more conscientious and agreeable. Being early was connected to neuroticism, and those who are chronically late tended to be more laid back. No, really? That you needed a science study to find out that someone who's late is laid back? Now, generally, what are you, Esmeralda? Are you on time? Are you late? Are you early?
I would say I'm on time.
Yeah.
Although, when you say that, you know, people who are late are laid back, they could also be, like, pretty, like, just anxiety-filled in the sense that they have, maybe they leave stuff for the last minute, and then they're all freaking out.
Yeah.
And then it's like, by the time they're like, oh no, I have to leave, and I still haven't finished doing whatever I need to do.
That's true. There are many reasons for people who are chronically late. That's one of them, for sure. But I'm on time or early all the time. I hate being late. It drives me crazy because I think being late, especially if you're going to meet other people,
mm-hmm.
or to be, if you were supposed to be, I think that's rude. I think it's rude. I think, you know, you're saying that someone's hogging your part of the sidewalk. I'm thinking that that's hogging someone else's time. Like, that's, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that person is at this place when they're supposed to be there and you're not, and I think that's rude. That's, you know, that's just like, it's your time that someone's messing with, and I just think it's rude. And then I guess that's why they say that you're neurotic, because I don't want to be late, so I'm early usually. I'm usually early. Now, Dan, you're always on time, or
I try to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely almost like to the second on time when you and I come into work. So.
Yeah. 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 I mean,
but it's on time or early for me. So I don't know. You know, and here's the thing, Esmeralda. I know that you've probably gone through this, and I think we've all gone through this. Have you ever been with someone or dated someone or married someone who was chronically late?
Yeah, no, V is all the time.
Oh, is he really? Well, he's very laid back.
I'll be waiting with my coat on, and I'll be like, "Come on, get your coat on." He's like, "I know," and I'm like, "Yeah,
yeah,
come on, we're already."
Yeah, that I've been in a few relationships where I dated,
yeah,
or was married to.
He gets a little like in his head,
yeah,
that he has to do a million things.
Yeah,
he'll, like, I've seen him where we don't have time, and I've seen him like do something, like pick something up, like he'll walk into a room and just start picking things up. I'm like, what are you doing? That go do the thing you're supposed to be going to do. And he's like, I can't. And I'm like, oh my god, like, you still have to go do this. Why are you doing that right now? That does not matter.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny. Yeah, no, I used to, you know, I used to just go nuts when I would just sit on the couch and be like, oh my god, I don't. And I would look and go, oh my god, we're gonna be 10 minutes, gonna be 15 minutes late. And, you know, so it got to the point, and I know that this is really, you know, this is, I would have to do this. I would have to tell a couple of my exes that we had to be someplace a half an hour earlier than we really did.
Right.
And do you ever do that, Dan?
Never on purpose, but it always worked out.
Yeah, you know, that's what I'm saying. I would do it on purpose. It got to the point where I would do it on purpose. I'd be like, yeah we got to be there at 6, and we have to be there at 5. You know, we have to be there at 6:15 or 6:30.
Yeah.
Just so my stress level doesn't go through the roof, because I'm already a head case. I'm already a loon. So, all right, we'll take a break. We got the weather and the traffic, and then we got a Blackhawks Express, and then we'll finish talking about these habits and stuff. Okay, they're talking about habits and stuff. Now, we already talked about our eating habits. Here's mm-hmm. some of the weird psychological explanations that they...
Okay.
You are what you eat, but scientists suggest that you also are how you eat. Julia Holmes, a psychologist specializing in food behavior. How do you... That's a thing?
I mean, I took an interpersonal communication class in college.
What did that
entail? It's just about two people, like, someone else.
That was credited?
Yeah. It was just like weird. It's like when you talk with one friend, then you add another. It's a this. And I'm like, what?
That's a college course.
Yeah.
All right. So.
So I can understand food behavioralist.
Food behavioralist. And also a Los Angeles-based behavioral food expert. Oh, that's a. they've switched the words around a little bit on that one. Slow eaters are usually people who like to be in control and know how to appreciate life. But fast eaters tend to be ambitious and impatient. The adventurous eater is a thrill seeker and a risk taker, while picky eaters are likely to exhibit anxiety and neuroticism. Lastly, if you're someone who likes to separate different foods on your plate, you're very cautious and detail-oriented in your everyday life. What do you think they would say about your yolk thing?
I don't know, because I don't do it with... Like with gravy and mashed potatoes, I'll try to keep it in.
The gravy, you mean?
Yes, but that's only because I don't want to have to go get more gravy.
Okay.
Because then it's like, oh, it's all gone now. Because I like to grab some potato from the bottom and dip it.
Yeah, I understand.
You can't do that if it's all gone and spread all over your plate.
How fast do you eat?
I'm a very fast eater.
So am I.
I have to work on that. Because they say that your brain... doesn't catch up until like 20 minutes or something, so then you've eaten all this food and you feel like terribly full.
Yeah, I mean, I do this. I'm the same way as Esmeralda. I mean, I eat really fast, and one of the things that it is because I like my food to be hot when I eat it. I like it to be warm. I don't want to sit there and for like half an hour.
You can slow down.
No, I know, but it's warm. But I'm not. It's not like I eat like I'm in prison. I'm not. But I'm a relatively fast eater.
Yeah.
Dan, what about you? Slow or fast or what?
It's funny you make that assertion, because I'm a very fast eater and all of my friends are, and we all attribute it to the fact that St. Pat's had a very short lunch.
Ah, there you go.
So we were...
You had to shovel it in.
20 minutes, yeah. And
that's it. Otherwise, you're going to hell. isn't that one of the Catholic rules? If you eat too fast,
yes.
If you eat too, it takes you too long to eat, you go right to hell.
And isn't that almost like gluttony or something, if you're just trying to shovel in all the food that you can get in 20 minutes?
The thing is, you know, sometimes it depends. I mean, I will say this. It depends on the situation. Like if I'm out in a restaurant and I'm having a nice meal, I'm not going to shovel it because I want to enjoy it. You know, yeah. I don't get out to really nice restaurants very often, so I want to enjoy the meal. Mm-hmm. So I take a little longer. If I make something at home and I need to leave in a half an hour, I will shovel it down my throat.
Right.
Here at work, I eat. You know, I usually have like a stupid little snack or something about halfway through the shift. And that's shoveled. I mean, it's, you know what I mean?
Although I have friends who eat very slow.
Yeah, I do too.
And I try to monitor how I eat, but then I still eat too fast.
Yeah. I have people who just take forever. I know people who take forever to eat.
Right. V does that, but that's because he talks too much. To the point where I'm like, you should probably eat some of your food.
You have to remind him to eat.
Because he's just talking, like having a conversation. And I'm like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And yeah. I'm just listening. And
well, I noticed that on the food videos that you made, the first one that you made.
Yeah.
Like, he just kept talking. You're like, yeah, all right, let's eat.
It's like, you know, you haven't eaten that much. I'm almost done over here.
And by the way, we have a place to get to, V. You might want to finish eating so that we can get out of here. How about your shopping habits? Want to get to know someone better? Take them to the mall. A series of experiments published by the Journal of Consumer Research found that there were two types of consumers, the explanation fiend and the explanation foe. A fiend is the type that meticulously scrutinizes every single shampoo bottle in the aisle before settling on something. On the other hand, a foe will quickly decide and be done. According to the researchers, fiends score high on measures of cognitive reflection, meaning they analyze information to death and are detail-oriented. Foes don't do well with details and perform our general information.
See, but it depends.
Yeah.
Because I'll go into a clothing store and I'll quickly scan it. Scan through, and if I don't see anything that mildly catches my eye, I'm out.
When you go grocery shopping, do you make a list?
Yes.
So do I.
But I still stray from it.
Do you?
And I look for stuff, but I'm not like, which of these sour creams is better?
Yeah.
For the most part, I know which ones I like.
And yeah. It takes me, you know, I do grocery shopping bi-weekly. Okay. And it's usually, it's right after the show at 6 o'clock in the morning at a Jewel. So there's nobody there. So I can just beeline through the store. It literally takes me 15 minutes to finish my shopping. And boom. You know, and I'm talking about a pretty good cart full of stuff. But because I know what I want to get, I get to it and I get out.
Right.
So I'm definitely, so don't give me any details, Dan. Just keep it all general information. All right. Well, there you go. This next one is your selfie style. I don't have one. So I don't have one because I don't take selfies. So anyway. All right, Esmeralda. Hey, tomorrow, Dan Feinberg is going to join us to talk TV. And, you know, it's Super Bowl weekend.
Yes.
So we are going to talk about great football movies.
Oh.
So that'll be coming up. Hey, have a lovely, lovely day.
You too.
And try to not be stressful with your walk to the train.
No, it doesn't matter. Well, no, there's no one out.
There's
right
no
now,
one out
so
right now.
Fine.
Okay, very cool. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with the news.